Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning. We're overlooking Diamond Head and Hawaii's South Shore. It's a good day. A little breezy in Hawaii. Some wind, a little rain. It's going to come out with some sun later on, though. The sun will definitely show its face for us. Right now, it's chilly in the clubhouse. Ron Cyrak joining us, Golf World Magazine Executive Editor, Senior Writer for Golf Digest, author, one book, Play Your Best Golf, now the most recent out. Ken Carpenter, Elite Callaway staff member and the left-handed golf guru. He'll be joining us. Canadians, listen up. We're also qualifying people to win the trip for two to San Francisco via Hawaiian Airlines. Four nights in a suite at the Galleria Park Hotel, plus two rounds of golf at Harding Park. But first, the sponsors will make this show possible.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning, sheet metal and commercial kitchen design and fabrication. Excellent service, expert knowledge, work and product. Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, play in a slice of heaven on Kauai. Bring your family, friends, spend quality time at Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Welcome back to the show. In the headlines, at the World Cup, it's Team Ireland, Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell. They're going into Sunday with a two-stroke lead. They're going up against three teams, though, that are all tied for second. Teams Germany, South Africa, and USA. Martin Keimer and Alex Cechka made 11 birdies in their 11 under 61. This is the Blackstone course, and it's does this sound familiar for Hawaii? Carved out of the cooled lava. Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen almost scored 61, or they also did, excuse me. And Gary Woodland and Matt Kuchar, 10 birdies, 1 bogey, 63. So it's going to be a real tight race, as it is at the SA Open Championship. Heini Oto leads by 3 over Retief Goosen, Thomas Aiken, Magnus Carlsen, and Garth Mulroy, who won last weekend, and he's now exempt on the European Tour and has his PGA Tour card. Also in the news, NBA owners and players have reached a tentative agreement to end the lockout. According to the Associated Press, the AP says Commissioner David Stern says the two sides have reached a tentative understanding that is subject to a variety of approvals and very complex machinations. He said, "We're optimistic that we will come to, that this will all come to pass and that the NBA season will begin December 25th. I'm glad he's optimistic. Let's talk to our first guest, traveling the world from Australia back to the United States. Now, in Los Angeles, I guess on the way to Thousand Oaks for the Chevron World Challenge. Welcome to the show, Golf World Executive Editor Ron Cyrak. It's good to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
You know, I was just thinking about the amount of traveling you do and going to Australia and then coming back to the States, coming to the West Coast, going back to the East Coast. How do you do it? Do you have a special formula that you drink? Any tips for the world traveler?
No. You know, the only tip that I do is whenever I get someplace, I try to just stay awake until after dinner that day, and then fall asleep and hopefully wake up on their time the next day. But Australia was definitely a challenge. It was it took me a while, particularly since where my editors were, when it was I was always 16 hours ahead of them, so we were not only different times but different days sometimes. And that was you know, everybody was watching the Sunday finish of the President's Cup on Saturday on the East Coast. It was weird.
Yeah, I bet. Okay. You were not on Golf Channel. Every Monday morning you can see Ron Cyrak, and he discusses things in golf, not necessarily what everyone else is talking about, which is very cool because you get insight that you wouldn't normally get. But on Monday he wasn't there because I guess were you traveling back from Australia?
I was probably about over Hawaii about that time, yeah.
All right, yeah. All right. Yeah, but this week you were mentioned twice. They must have missed you terribly. You came up twice in conversation, once when they were talking about one of the most memorable appearances by anyone on Golf Channel. It was the time when you had to go up against the fly and the incredible focus that you had in face of that fly. They're still talking about that. This
every fly must have a purpose. So
all right. That is perfect. Perfect. We'll talk about the book. Now, the first time, though, was the best. Okay, we're talking about the LPGA now. Before I really want to do a postmortem on the President's Cup, but let's jump into the LPGA. You've been following the tour, and a big proponent for women's golf. Now, LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann has the second chair. One of the guys is not in for the week, and Mike Wann is filling in for Eric. Gary Williams is there. And Gary is just out of his mind wanting to ask questions about a global team competition that's been talked about and twittered about, and Randall Mell had been talking about it a lot on, mm-hmm. on Twitter, right? Okay, so wait, LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann on Golf Channel is asked, will there be a global team competition? He says, first off, I have to say to Cyrax, thank you for being as quiet as you've been. At the Solheim Cup this year, I sat down with Ron, made him turn off his tape recorder, and I asked him, I want to share an idea with you, and then do me a favor, don't write about it until I tell you you can. So I'm sure he's reading Randall Mell and saying, Juan, you're killing me. That's amazing. Your discretion just shows us what kind of a journalist you are. Were you feeling, what was going on in your mind, and what can you tell us about this global team competition?
Well, two things. First off, in the general thing, all the players and all the officials and anybody I deal with knows that my rule is, if my notebook's in my pocket and the tape recorder's not turned on, any conversation we have is off the record, and I won't write about it, because I think that's how you build relationships, and that's how you build trust, and you get to know people, and you develop pipelines of information back and forth when people know they can talk to you, and you're not always going to necessarily run out and write it. And it's not the first time I've done this with people from the LPGA, where they said that, hey, we want to bounce an idea off you because we value your opinion, and we want to know what you think, and I'd say, fine. You know, just give me a heads up before we're going to go with the story. And then when I saw Randy's piece come out, at first I was a little bit angry and felt a little bit betrayed. But then I also realized that he had about five things in it that were not exactly correct. His basic framework was right, but that I knew more about it than he knew about it. And I felt that I had given my word to Mike Wann about not writing about it, and I decided to keep that word.
Kudos. Awesome. Okay. Now, from what he talked about on Golf Channel, it sounds like he's still formulating, but that it'll be something to the effect of celebrating and embracing countries. This is the idea in the planning stage. To celebrate and embrace countries that are building professional women's golf programs. And kind of said, okay, the world rankings determines the top player in the world. We get that. The Olympics determines the country the top player represents. What they want to do, or what he wants to do, is celebrate the countries that support women's golf. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you know, basically what we've got going now is the Solheim Cup is the United States against Europe, and that event's been going since 1990 now, and this year Europe won at Killeen Castle in Ireland, and that was a very, very important victory because the United States had won the last three in blowouts, and it was becoming a one-sided thing, and there was a lot of pressure that we need to include Asia in this because the best players in the world are coming from Asia now. How do we get them in the mix? Well, Europe came up and won this year at Killeen Castle, and I think that event is secure now. Just like the Ryder Cup's not going to ever be changed, it's always going to be the United States against Europe, Solheim Cup's going to be that. But they are looking for a way to get those other countries from the Asia Rim out there, Japan and Korea and China and Taiwan and Australia, into the mix. And I think what you're going to see is something that will be sort of a mini version of the format that's going to be going on in the Olympics. I think you get about eight countries will be represented. I think probably about half those countries will be from Asia, and so all the top players will have a chance to compete.
I mean, it actually sounds like a better solution for getting internationals into a team competition than the President's Cup.
Because I think that, in a way, you know, one of the challenges with the President's Cup, and it's funny, the President's Cup now is sort of in a Solheim Cup-type situation because Americans now have won 7 of the 9 competitions. And I think what's hard for the President's Cup to get an identity, in the Ryder Cup, it's really the PGA Tour versus the European Tour.
Yeah.
And the Euro Tour guys have sort of a chip on their shoulder. They don't get enough respect. The international team in the President's Cup is really a group of countries that don't have a common bond. There is a European Union, you know. There is the European Union flag. They have an anthem. They are a political and sort of cultural entity. But really, how much does Australia and Taiwan have in common with each other? And many of the people, more than half the people who play for the international team in the President's Cup, live in the United States and play on the PGA Tour. So there's not quite the same animosity and tension level. I think this new thing that the LPGA is going towards will, you know, you want to keep that intensity that you have in the Solheim Cup, but you want to figure out a way to include the Asian players. And I think this is a much more sensible way because you are more competing for your country rather than for this made up entity.
Yeah, the made up union, right?
Exactly. Right.
The interesting thing that you said that it's going to make perfect television, and then he goes on to say, on the Monday show, I wish I could send it to you, the format will be different. And I'm thinking, okay, the format. What does he mean? No foursomes, no four balls, no single. Format will be different. Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
I think you might see something that's more on a sort of a round robin basis, go out and you're not playing one team against another. You're playing like nation against nation, and on a rotating basis.
Yeah, and he wasn't specific. And I when I asked that question of you just now, I shouldn't have said anything because it's still in the formulating stages. And Gary Williams said, okay, the new marketing guy, I promise you that, you know, Commissioner Wan did not say everything. He didn't lay it all out. He didn't spill the beans. He just gave us kind of an idea. So, indeed.
And I do think that where they are is a lot of this is still in the planning. You know, they're still trying to figure it out. They know what kind of event they want to have. And they know they want it to be different than other kinds of events that are out there. They know the flaws that are involved with the President's Cup, and they're trying to figure out how to get past all that. So I think they're still tinkering.
Okay. Now, here's another thing that, of course, it comes up is, how do you get a bunch of Norwegians together to play golf with Suzanne Pedersen? Because they're
not... That's going to be a problem. I mean, the basic format that they have right now... Norway would not qualify for this competition, so that's a problem that they have to deal with. The number two ranked player in the world would not be eligible for this event the way it is right now. And quite frankly, if Lorena Ochoa was still playing right now, Mexico probably wouldn't qualify because a team would qualify by four players. The four players from that country with the best combined world ranking point.
Oh
well. Taiwan gets in, China gets in, Taiwan gets in, Japan gets in, Korea would get in, Australia would get in, and the United States would get in, but it would eliminate countries that don't have at least four top players, and that's a bit of a problem. I mean, what if a Christal Bouillon, who played in the Solheim Cup for the Netherlands, was really, really good over there, and say she emerges as a top five player in the world, top 10 player in the world, she probably would not qualify for this.
Interesting. We're going to take a break and talk some about Royal Melbourne and the Australian Women's Open starting off and the President's Cup and Tiger Woods and Chevron. Can you stick around through the break?
Absolutely.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha, this is Dustin Johnson. Don't miss the excitement at the Plantation Course here in Maui during the PGA Tour season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
On January 5th through 9th in Kapalua, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticketed adult.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back to the show. We should be hearing the sound of a jet soon, and you know what to do then. You dial 808-296-5467. The ninth caller qualifies to win the trip to San Francisco. We're talking with Ron Syrak. He's the executive editor for Golf World, senior writer for Golf Digest, author, Play Your Best Golf Now is the book out, recommended reading, okay? Now, we were talking about going and traveling around the world and the effects of time travel. Time zone travel. Was it worth the trip to Australia? Is it making that long journey from the East Coast?
Oh, absolutely. I'd never been to Royal Melbourne, and that's just one of the great golf courses in the world. It is, you know, it's an Alistair McKenzie design, and it's a lot the way Augusta National was before they started lengthening Augusta National. It's a second shot golf course, very strategic. It's about positioning the ball perfectly off the tee. The bunkering is spectacular. They carve bunkers right into the greens with no lift, just sort of a drop off from the green into the bunker. And then it's got two things that you really can't control. It's got that magnificent sandy soil that it's built on, so the courses run firm and fast. And they get wind blowing there. And boy, that made for some great, great golf. I just totally fell in love with that golf.
I can tell. Now, what got me was the change in weather. Is it always that? I mean, one day it's hot, it's running 14 on the stimp meter, and then the next day it's cold, wet, and 7.
Yeah, we went from 91 to 50 degrees on back-to-back days there, you know. And you know, I think, again, that's something you can build into a golf course, but you know, the way the game was originally played in Scotland is weather is a part of the it's a part of the design of a golf course, and you want that. And you know from Hawaii, it's a whole different game when the wind's up and the wind's blowing. And what I loved about Royal Melbourne is, I think any great golf course, any great design, offers you multiple options on how to play the hole and makes you make decisions about how to play the hole. And every shot at Melbourne, you had to make decisions. You couldn't just stand on the tee and reach in your bag and pull your driver out. That was not always the right play to play off the tee box. You had to position yourself better than that. And I think under pressure, one of the first signs that you see when somebody is faltering under pressure is they start making bad decisions. And that's where Melbourne is a very genius design. It's constantly forcing you to make decisions.
What happened to Jason Day and Aaron Baddeley?
Well, there was a little bit of a choky tissue going on there.
Yeah,
it was pretty sad. I mean, it makes me realize now. Jason Day has been in contention for about 2 years now in virtually every major championship that he's played. And it's clear he doesn't have this Sunday thing figured out yet, you know, about how to close the deal on Sunday. And one of the things about a President's Cup, a Ryder Cup, a Solheim Cup is every day is Sunday, you know. You know, the first day they lost a massive half point. The session ended up being 4-2, and the Internationals never got closer than that, than 2 points back. And Baddeley and Day were two up with two to go and managed only to have their match. And on 18, Baddeley hit a tee shot that he almost whiffed it. He hit about 2 feet behind it. And it was, yeah, that's what's fun about those team competitions. The pressure is enormous, and it's amazing to watch these best players in the world really succumb to the pressure sometimes.
Yeah, okay. Tiger Woods afterwards said that if this had been stroke play, it would have been brutal. But because it was team play, there's some room to wiggle. Now, when the women go down, they're going to be playing it was an LET event, Ladies European Tour, but now it's under the LPGA?
The LPGA and the Australian Ladies Golf Tour is going to be co-sanctioned by those two tours. And it's going to be played on Royal Melbourne. The men at the President's Cup played a composite course of the two designs there. I believe the women are going to be playing the same one. And I think it's going to be a fascinating course for the women because they're going to be able to, since this course hasn't been stretched out to 7,700 yards or 7,800 yards, the women are going to be able to have the same types of second shots in that the men do. And it's going to be just as challenging for them. This course had two of the best 150-yard par threes I've seen this side of the 12th hole at Augusta National.
Wow.
It had a couple of drivable par fours that were just fascinating that, yeah, you can drive it, but, boy, if you don't get it on the green, the next shot's going to be really hard. I'm really happy that the LPGA has decided to include the Australian, and I'd like to see them actually include a couple more stops in Australia. You know, fill out that schedule, beef it up. The problem going in was that the disparity between the Australian purses and the American purses was too great, and the LPGA didn't want to be involved. But now they've been able to figure out a way around that.
Oh, good. Good, yeah, it would be nice. I mean, make the trip down there, make it worth it, like the guys did. They went down, played one event, did the President's Cup, played another event, and then they can leave. You've got 3 weeks there, kind of give you a chance to acclimate and actually make the trip worthwhile. Would you go back?
Well, that's a great point that you just made, because one of the things that Captain Freddie Couples encouraged the American team members to do is to play in Asia the week or two before the President's Cup to adjust to the time zone thing. So many of them played in, some played in Singapore, some played in Shanghai, and they got over there and they were able to get their body clocks adjusted. And yes, I would go back. I would go, I'd like to go back for the Women's Open there.
It's, really?
I do have to say that it's a long flight. I lost track of how many movies I watched trying to pass the time. So
I thought you watched.
I watched all three Godfather movies. Yeah,
and you had, that was a funny line. You got off the plane and you that was wanted to whack somebody. I was just cracking up. Okay, now let's go back to the President's Cup. Did Freddie Couples win it because he was so hands-off and Greg Norman lose it because he was so hands-on, or does the captain even matter?
I think it's one of those things where captains can lose events, you know, that they can rarely win events. It becomes a matter of just how your players play. And I think the American team was just deeper. The international side really the drop. I mean, they had a couple of people, and we mentioned Baddeley and Day. Allenby was another one. Ernie Els didn't play particularly well. As I said, the Internationals got to start winning soon. This is going to become a competition soon. And the hopeful signs that they came away with is if you look at it, Ryo Ishikawa of Japan, who's 20.
Yep.
Won his singles match. KT Kim of Korea, who's 25, won his singles match. And in the pipeline, there's Sung Yul No, who's a 20-year-old Korean who's already won twice on the European Tour. There's Hideki Matsuyama, who's won the Asian Amateur Challenge, which gets you into the Masters, and this year was below amateur in the Masters. I think you're going to see more talent and more world-class players coming out of Japan and Korea, and ultimately China, and that's going to be what strengthens that team.
It'll be interesting to see if they're able to coalesce as a team. All the internationals with the different languages, different cultures, and that may be a challenge. Let's transition to Tiger Woods. I mean, we must have seen every putt that fell in singles play. We didn't see the one that did one really go in and then bounce out again.
Yeah, he had one that just drilled the back of the cup and popped up and stayed out. It seemed to be defying the laws of gravity. But but what was interesting is in that single session, Tiger played really well all week, and the best I've seen him play since before his unfortunate encounter with a fire hydrant.
Mm.
The putts that have been dropping for 13 years in his career weren't dropping, and they weren't dropping in the first four sessions of the President's Cup either. The first day he got waxed. He and Steve Stricker got waxed 7-6 in foursomes play. But on Sunday, all of a sudden, in that singles, he was not only hitting the ball well and flighting some beautiful shots through the wind, but he was putting like the old Tiger Woods. And to me, that's going to be the big question going forward. Will he ever putt again the way he putted in 2000 or 2004 or 2006? He hasn't had that kind of success on the greens for almost 3 years now. And that's what I'm going to be looking forward to next week at Sherwood in the Chevron World Challenge Tigers tournament up there, is to see if he can build on the foundation that he laid at the President's Cup and continue to move forward.
Yes, everyone is. What happened to Team Stricker Woods? That's kind of fell apart.
I don't think Stricker is healthy. He had a cortisone shot in his neck about 6 weeks ago, and I think he's still playing hurt. Steve is also among the American players, and American players don't travel anywhere near as well as the European players and the Asian players do. But among the American players, Steve Stricker likes to travel probably the least of any of them, and I think that was probably more of a hardship for him too. But I think it's a physical issue.
Okay. Now, do you think they'll be able to separate Bubba Watson from Webb Simpson?
I don't know if you'd want to right now. That was fun to watch. They played really well together, and and they were an entertaining duo. And really, honestly, if you know them at all, a little bit personally, they could not be more different. Webb is as straight laced as they come, and Bubba isn't.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, did you play any golf in Australia or California? Have you gotten on the?
We had a match of American riders against Australian riders at the Woodlands, one of the Sandbelt courses there. And again, it was that Sandbelt area around Melbourne. You could play golf there every day for 2 weeks and play a different golf course every day and not play a bad golf course. And,
wow.
And as I said, a big part of it is the soil that it's built on and the natural conditions. It's just, it's a great area for golf.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, Play Your Best Golf Now. A wonderful book, Vision 54, Pia Nilsson, Lynn Marriott. Three of you get together and write this book. If Dave Peltz on the cover, as I'm reading, I love Lynn and Pia because they understand and teach that there is more to golf than swinging. You can't go wrong with Vision 54. That's a huge endorsement, and a lot of people say that. What do you find so special about what they teach?
Well, first off, I'm very, very fortunate that Pia and Lynn trusted me with their story to tell. And I think the genius of what they do is they realize, and I think Peltz was referring to this, there's more than one right way to swing a golf club. There's not one swing that's the swing that works. And the key to scoring, the key to success, is to be able to repeat your swing. We've all hit great golf shots with the swings that we have right now. It's just that success is the proportion between your good shots and your bad shots. And a lot about what P and Lynn teach is how do you make your swing repeat? They teach tempo. They teach balance. They teach the mental focus so that you block out that silly little voice that's saying negative things in your mind all the time. And other teachers, others like David Ledbetter and have come to embrace P.N. Lin because they know that what they're teaching enhances what the method that they're teaching. Sean Foley is another person who's a big believer in Vision 54. He's got his swing theories. He's got his ideas of what kinds of plane you need to be on. But he knows that in Vision 54, there are the tools that you can learn that increase the chances that you're going to swing the golf club the same way over and over and over again.
Discover Vision 54's 8 Essential Playing Skills. Play Your Best Golf Now is the name of the book. You can get it at Amazon.com right now. Order it. Okay. Thank you so much. We're all ready to go to Australia. Okay. And I know you're not here to sell Australia, but what you've described, that did you call it the sand belt?
The sand belt area around Melbourne is just okay. Spectacular golf course.
All right, so make your reservations now. Thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Love talking with you.
Thank you. My pleasure. Talk to you again.
Okay, we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Hitting Greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open January 9th to the 15th. Come kick off the 2012 tour season with marquee players Kuchar, Furyk, Els, and Choi. Big names, big stakes, big action, small price. Buy tickets to the Sony Open at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. It's the 2012 Sony Open at Wailea Country Club. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. And I get to introduce you to a wonderful instructor. Ken Carpenter, stand by. We're giving away a round trip to San Francisco for two people. All you have to do right now is call the ninth caller. 808-296-5467. It's 808-296-5467. At the end of December, I'll draw the winner. Actually, somebody else will, so that, you know, I don't have to be responsible and feel bad if you don't win. And then we'll have the person who wins take a trip to San Francisco four nights at the Galleria Park Hotel on Hawaiian Airlines and around at Harding Park. Harding Park. Yes.
Where the awesome.
Yes. It's fantastic. So.
Cool.
I think Ken is getting ready to start dialing on his other phone. He's with us right now, all the way from Arizona. Welcome to the show, Ken Carpenter.
Daniel, thanks for having me. It's great to be on the show.
It's good to have you on the show. And I was in Phoenix, and stayed at the Westin Kierland, and had this wonderful lesson with this gentleman, and he showed me a lot. Thank you so much. You actually got me to feel things, and that I think is critical. You know, my goodness, it is. It's critical to feel something. When you can't feel your backswing, you know, what are you doing so far back, Danielle? These things happen all the time. So, what I wanted to do is introduce this gentleman, Ken Carpenter, to you. If you're in Phoenix, that's great. But what about if you're here? Well, he's created the left way to golf. It's Now, it's for left-handed. And, Ken, did you know there are more left-handed people in Canada than there are practically anywhere else in the world?
I do, yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, I teach probably half the Coyotes NHL team down here, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, you do?
No. Yeah.
It's because they play hockey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A left-handed.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, I've just got our qualifier so that we get the phone settled down. Wesley Kira of IAEA is our qualifier. We'll get a second person in. Later on in the show, you'll hear the jet, and you'll call 808-296-5467, and you'll be the ninth caller, and you will qualify. All right. The left-handed golfer, the left way to golf, but it also works for people who are right-handed. And as I was looking at this video, you can find everything about Ken Carpenter at his website. It's a really good website. It has lots of great information. But more importantly, it has this video. And it's going to teach you, this is really important stuff, how the grip is supposed to feel, the best way to hold the club, and we're going to go through these things. But the most important thing in this video is how to get the direction the ball is curving to stop curving that way. And you can do it with your hand.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem possible. Tell us.
You can. You know, it's pretty simple, this works for righties as well as lefties, but whichever direction the ball is curving, if you turn your hand in the direction of the curve on your grip, the curve will go away. So let's take, for instance, a lefty. He's curving the ball to the left.
Okay.
If he turns his hand to the left, the ball is going to straighten out. And same thing for a righty. If a right-handed golfer is curving the ball to the right, if he turns his hands to the right on his grip, the curve will go away. So it's pretty simple. It works for both lefties and righties.
I have the club the way I normally would grab. So you want me to turn my hand just a little bit further?
Are you curving it to the right or left?
I'm curving it to the right.
So, yeah, I want you to turn your hands to the right on your grip, and the curve will go away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You're getting wows to the room. The room is going, wow.
It's pretty simple when you think about it, and you can put your same motion on it. Everything you do, all you got to do is adjust your grip a little bit, and that is one way to fix the curve of the ball. I mean, there's a couple other ways, but that is the main way to fix the curve of the golf ball.
Okay, say it again, because, you know, people might be driving along going, huh?
Yeah.
What?
So if whichever direction the ball is curving, if we turn our hands in the direction of the curve on our grip, the curve will go away.
Oh, God. It's like a mantra. Let's do the mantra. All right. In this video, you also talk about how the grip is supposed to feel, right? And you talk about holding it in the crease of your finger, and you talk about how does the pitcher use his, I don't know, he uses his fingers, right? Tell us.
You think about it. If the pitcher wants to throw a fastball, he's going to put it in the fingers. If he wants to throw, you know, a pitch that reduces speed, he's going to put it more in the palm of his hand. So for us golfers who want speed, and we all want speed because we all want to hit it longer, right?
Okay. Yeah.
If you put it in the fingers, you know, it's going to create more speed in your hand. So for those of you out there gripping in the palm, you got to get it out of the palm because that's reducing your speed.
Oh, wow. Get it out of the palm. Get it into your fingers, into the crease of your fingers. Which three fingers?
Well, the back three are the hinge for the club to release off of. So if your top hand, the back three. So that's where your grip pressure should be. Your right hand is light on the golf club. And the reason why I say that, because the minute we start making the downswing, there's more pressure that's exerted into the back hand. So the back hand is going to provide hit, obviously. So at the top, it should feel light in your back hand.
Okay.
And if you do that, you'll be able to create more speed and more lag in the golf club. If you have a lot of tension, then your backhand is going to get into the downswing, which is not good because we all hear about the cast and all that stuff. So, you know,
don't cast
the club is not good.
We got to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Our message here has to be very simple. It's too much. It confuses the poor golfer who's trying to.
Yeah, so. You know, grip pressure. Let's just keep, you know, the pressures in our top hand and the back three fingers and our bottom hand's lighter.
Okay.
And if you do that, it's going to allow you to, you know, swing the club better and create more speed.
And what is another very good thing in this video is the heel pad. Yeah, a lot of people, that's the part of your hand that's right below your little finger. That heel,
right.
There's the thumb pad and there's the heel pad. Now,
exactly.
That should be on top of the club, right?
The heel pad should be on top of the golf club. So the golf club does not ride in the lifeline of your hand. You need the heel pad on top. So you should be able to pinch a little bit of your heel pad, you know, when you get it on top. So it goes more in the fingers.
Isn't this great? I mean, everybody talks about how important the grip is. But
well, it's our only connection to the golf club, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to know if it's windy and I want to bring the ball flight down to stay closer to the, and keep it out of the wind, do I want to slow down my swing?
No. There's a couple things you do.
Okay.
To bring the ball down.
All right. Wait. Stop. We're going to take a break and come back.
Yeah.
In the trade, that's called a tease.
Okay.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Join me, Steve Stricker, when the PGA Tour starts the new season at the Winners Only Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
The Hyundai Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at Kapalua's Plantation Course. Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a champions-only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticketed adult.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Yeah, you know, staying at Weston Kierland, I learned everything about scotch, which beer to have with dessert, and which instructor to go to when I'm in Phoenix. His name is Ken Carpenter. He's an elite Callaway staff member, excellent instructor. Took a lesson while I was at the Westin. Now, where are you teaching? Where can we find you now?
I'm still at Kierland. I'm at the Westin Kierland in the back of the range, and it's a wonderful spot to be in. I mean, it's so private, and it's a great learning environment. That's what's best about it.
Yeah, and I love the spritzers on the when it gets hot.
Air conditioners on the cart.
Yeah, well, there's that, and then don't they spray a little water on you?
We just switched too. The new cars have these mister systems, air conditioning systems, so they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
They're cool now, all that.
I like that. It was hot when I was in Arizona just this past September. Boy,
yeah.
I forgot what 100 degrees feels like. Burning. But it's a beautiful place to be. A lot of our Aloha, our Kama'aina folks go to Phoenix. In fact, a lot of our golfers go as junior golfers, then they move in to Phoenix. It's a great jumping off point for them to get into the professional tours. And so when you're there, you want to look and find the left-handed golf guru. His name is Ken Carpenter. But what about if you want to find out more about how you can go online, right? The left-handed golf guru. But what if you don't want to have your computer? You want to have it on your television. Are you selling your key to the grip, the left-handed golf guru?
We do. Actually, the grip is a free tip. So if you go to lefthandedgolfguru.com, you can sign up for the free tip grip. And you get that. That comes to you as a digital download. And all of our videos come to you as a digital download. So you can, you know, for $49.95, you get every aspect of the game, you know, taught by myself. And, you know, it's funny because we created this for left-handed golfers, and probably 60% of everybody purchasing it right now are right-handers because they just want a mirror image, you know. So it's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. But it's funny that they would, you know, I don't know, what is it about? People want a right hand. I want to know what the lefties are doing. They got it.
Yeah, it's funny for the first time, you know, we did a lot of research. I mean, lefties can learn the game without having to switch it around in their mind. That's the biggest thing because, you know, we've all read books, all of us lefties, and we got to go, okay, he says the left hand, that's our right hand, blah, blah, blah. And we just want to switch it around. So finally, we get to learn the game of golf from our own side.
And you're a left-handed golfer. So, of course, you are also interesting. I didn't know you're an Elite Callaway staff member.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. The Callaway Golf Company is great to me, and we got a great Elite staff member program, and you know, there's a lot of great professionals throughout this country with Callaway,
yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
And you play in competition?
I do. I play a lot. You know, for all of you out there that have had injuries like myself, I just went through back surgery a few years ago, and coming out of that, so I'm having to learn to swing the club a little different way. You know, probably something like Tiger, you know, with his knee.
Let me ask you this. Remember I told you about my back? And that's why I was having problem with this, my old swing. I needed a new swing.
Yep.
And now you totally, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? Ken can really relate. He understands you on a lot of different levels. So you can go to him and he will help you. And you can, not necessarily, you don't have to be at home. You can go on a little journey and you do lessons. You don't approach every student the same way, right?
No, I work with what people have and try to make it better. I mean, the most important thing in golf is our ability to make a good impact. Because with a good impact, we have the ability to control our distance of our golf ball. And we all need to know how far each and every one of our clubs go. And with that in mind, I mean, when you have a good impact, then you can understand that we can play good golf. And that's the main key. You know, you don't have to hit it a long ways to play good golf. But we have to know how far our clubs go.
Exactly. Morgan Pressel is a perfect example.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't have distance. She knows how to use her irons, her hybrids, and she's really, really good. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So she knows what she can do with what she's got. Go for it. So.
Yeah. And no, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing that a lot of people need to understand is that in order to play golf successfully, we need to know how to control our distance of every club. So every golfer should have a yardage map in their mind of how far their clubs go. Now, all of our clubs, you know, should be spaced 4 degrees apart from your pitching wedge to your 9-iron. And that 4 degrees of loft in our golf clubs usually equates to 10 to 15 yards in distance. So with that in mind, we can create a yardage guide. And then we can factor in wind and uphill, downhill, all that stuff. So that's the way you play good golf.
And you can learn all of this from Ken Carpenter and his staff at the Westin Kierlin. You'll find him, lefthandedgolfguru.com. You can order all of the tips, $49. We're starting
$49.95.
This is the Christmas. We're getting ready for Christmas.
It comes as a digital download. So you just have to click on your link on your email, save that link, and you'll always have it. And it works on your smartphones, and so it's a lot of fun. We've had a great time with that.
You also have unlimited outings, which is what I was trying to get to, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can have a professional for your group when you go, or just one group.
We bring the professionals to the group. So as opposed to the same old corporate scramble, let's say, you know, we fly in the professional. We fly in the incredible professionals who play the game at a level that, you know, everybody shoots in the 60s. If you don't shoot in the 60s, you're not on my staff.
Wow.
Period. And that's just the way it is. And so I want people to enjoy, you know, the person they're playing with. So if you're a single-digit handicapper, you're still going to enjoy the professional that you're with, and he's going to do a great job, and he's going to help you throughout the game of golf. And it's just a different way to have a tournament. And we handle everything from the dinners to, you know, the breakfast, everything, you know, from head to toe. And we fly in the pros so you guys can have a pro-am.
Excellent. That's the best golf outing possible.
It's a lot of fun. And, you know, the thing is once everybody does it one time, they always want to do it again.
Yeah.
So it's so fun. It is. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I miss you. And next time, next time I'm there in Phoenix, I'll definitely be dropping by. I wasn't on the Scottsdale side of Phoenix. I always get turned around those mountains, or south and north. Never mind. Thank you. That's what you have to figure out, though, when you play there. Tell us the tip about figuring out the way the greens are going to run.
Everything in Phoenix breaks towards the valley, so it goes south. So, and through playing all the golf courses here in Phoenix, I think that's a normal trend. So if you're ever in Phoenix, for all of you listeners out there, everything breaks towards the airport. You can call it the airport. We all know where the airport is. So if you're north of it, it's going to go towards the airport. If you're south of it, it's probably going to come, you know, a little bit that direction. But everything breaks a little bit south.
And believe me, until you know that, it will blow your mind. Because it makes no sense when you look at it. Thanks so much for being on the show. Ken Carpenter, left-handed golf guru. Awesome. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. It's Gabriel's Angels and Daphne's Covers. How do these two women get together, and what have they created? It's fantastic. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea Country Club for the Sony Open January 9th to the 15th. Come kick off the 2012 tour season with marquee players Kuchar, Furyk, Els, and Choi. Big names, big stakes, big action, small price. Buy tickets to the Sony Open at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. It's the 2012 Sony Open at Wailea Country Club. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Yeah, we're going to send him to the left-handed golf guru. That's a great tip. You just have to get that. Oh, my goodness. And that's a tip right there. Another great tip. Number to call is 808-296-5467. 296-5467. The ninth caller, you'll qualify. We're drawing the trip for two to San Francisco, four nights at the Galleria Park Hotel. We'll be telling you all about the hotel next weekend. Yes, it's the Galleria Park Hotel. San Francisco is your destination, and you'll play at Harding Park if you win, when we pull the winner out. We're going back to Phoenix. We're in Arizona, where I met a wonderful woman who, if I didn't contain myself, I would have like a zoo of head covers coming out of my bag. You know, I just love the puppet-like creatures that head covers are. And Jane Spicer is joining us now. She created Daphne's Covers many years ago with her mom in the kitchen. You were raising money for yourself to buy a sailboat?
Good morning. That's correct.
Yeah, you're amazing. How old were you then?
I was 10. And yes, wanted a sailboat, and we started making toys to buy the sailboat. I got that, and then we morphed into making puppets, Danielle, and then into golf club covers. And I sold the first golf club covers as Daphne's Head Covers when I was 16, based on a bribe from my mom if I sold enough, I'd get a car, and I sold enough and did, and Daphne's Head Covers was born.
You're someone to, you should go do speaking engagements with at high schools or grade schools, you know. Just, I want to get our qualify here. Roy Corpuz of Eva Beach, you are the ninth caller. You've qualified for the trip for two to San Francisco. Yes. Okay? All right. I hope everybody wins. That's all I can say. So we're talking with Jane Spicer. She, as she just mentioned, created Daphne's Covers. And you got in touch with me and you said, I've got a new head cover coming out. But it's a special head cover. And you have to tell us what inspired this special head cover, and why were you, I mean, I was talking about this earlier, about golf and charities. We always talk about how golf is giving back to the community, and golf is such a huge charity machine running for communities like Hawaii, where we, on Maui or on Oahu, benefit enormously from the Sony Open, from the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. It gives back in huge ways, and I thought your story is on a level that is so personal. You were touched by this charity, and you decided to take action with your company, giving back. And I'm sure you did it in many other ways, but this one was personal. What struck the chord in you, and tell us a bit about Gabriel's Angels.
Well, Gabriel's Angels is just a beautiful charity. They use therapy dogs to work with at-risk kids to end the cycle of abuse. And a couple years ago at Daphne's Head Covers, we were looking and reevaluating the charities that we were working with. And we wanted to really work with our core value is that we must do good while we're doing well. And we wanted charities that were very well run, that were really having an impact on our community. And we've been working quietly with Gabriel's Angels for a long time. And I started to think more about them. And anytime I turned around, somebody was saying, Gabriel's Angels. Gabriel's Angels, Gabriel's Angels. And you know, I've got a factory full of animal lovers, and everybody's involved and doing kind things. And they kept on saying things. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to research it. So I went and started to talk to the people at Gabriel's Angels, and I was blown away. It is the best-run charity I've ever worked with. They're making an impact on 13,000 children a year, helping end the cycle of abuse, using these beautiful therapy dogs. And I was just absolutely blown away and thought, you know, what can I do? Well, Gabriel was the founding dog of Gabriel's Angels. It was founded by Pam Gaber and her dog, the Weimaraner, beautiful Weimaraner, Gabriel, passed about a year and a half ago. And I thought, you know, I'm going to make a head cover and I'm going to do what I can to make a Weimaraner. And so I started making one and thinking about it, and I brought in the prototype and I showed Pam and her staff and got some tips on what to do, and then I had to get special amber eyes and a gray nose, which I was told nobody could get, you know, and I'm searching all over. These are the conversations I have in my life, Danielle. You know, I need a gray nose. Who's going to make me a gray nose? So I finally pegged it and decided that whatever I did, I was going to make one as a gift for Pam Gaber, just and on the anniversary of Gabriel's passing.
Oh, and, yeah.
And then if it worked, and it, you know, it was good, and I got it, then we would add it to our line. Because the more I saw it, they were just doing such amazing things. If I could make a head cover that created donations for Gabriel's Angels and spread the word about them, maybe in some small way I could help with this amazing work that they were doing. And so we did. I worked, and we nailed the head cover.
You got the nose right.
I got the nose right. I've been told no and no and no, and I kept on calling, and I kept on persisting, and I got it. And, you know, and I gave it to Pam, and the look on her face was all I needed. When she looked at it, and I thought, you know what, I think I got this design right.
Yeah.
And then we've gone into a partnership, and the Gabriel's Angels head cover, the Weimaraner, was launched in September. And my goal was to sell out within a year. Let's just sell out the brand new design. You never know how it's going to go. My in-house goal, I told my staff, we're selling out in March, and I'm diving in and I'm joining you. Danielle, we sold out of the Weimaraners. They came in the end of September. We sold out by October 10th.
Oh, my.
A year supply. All of them. So I couldn't be happier. So you'll find them in Dick's Sporting Goods. You'll find them you'll find them on the islands there. You'll find them all over. So they're out and they're available now. We don't have any more in our factory. The response was that good.
Wow.
But they're all out across the country, across the world. So we're madly making some more now.
Madly making more.
Yeah, yeah.
You nailed the nose and you're madly making more. I love it. Now, let's bring in the woman who created Gabriel's Angels. I get to meet Pam Gaber. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks so much for having us. And, you know, Jane, remember that voice you were saying early on about you kept hearing Gabriel's Angels, Gabriel's Angels, Gabriel's Angels? That was me.
Oh, yes. You know, the thing about Gabriel that is amazing is he was a difficult child. You were raising a saucy puppy. The reason I know this is because there's a wonderful book that was written about Gabriel after his passing. And you, Pam, tell us a little bit about the raising of Gabriel and how you discovered that he had a special gift that he got to share with children at risk.
Well, I look back at Gabriel's puppyhood, and I'm quite surprised that he and I both survived it. Whether he ate his bed for the day or tore up the drip system or escaped out the front door, I had a very adventurous Weimaraner puppy. And for those of you who know the breed, that's not that unusual. They are generally very hyperactive, and they have a lot of energy. And he had that life. And I would go to the crisis nursery here in Phoenix on Fridays just to volunteer. And I would tell the kids stories about my puppy, Gabriel. And every Friday, Danielle and Jane, I would get there. And they'd go, "What did Gabriel do, Miss Pam? What did Gabriel do?" I'd go, "Gabriel ate his bed." You know, their eyes were wide with wonderment. Or, "Gabriel ate my leather boots." and through these stories of this wild puppy, they were bonding with Gabriel. And Gabriel turned a year that November, and then in December, the Crisis Nursery had their annual holiday party, where I asked the executive director of Crisis Nursery if I could bring Gabriel dressed as Rudolph to the Christmas party. And I never forget, and I know, Jane, you know the story, but Marcia looked at me and she goes, "That's interesting." And I thought to myself, I don't hear a no in any of that. The word no did not appear. So I showed up that day with this, you know, used to be wacky Weimaraner that acted like an old soul that day, Danielle. I can't even tell you that this calmness and this serenity, as if Gabriel knew that these kids needed him.
Wow.
And children that would have normally chosen anger and violence chose compassion and empathy and love that day. And we all were watching this happen. And the executive director of the nursery says, and I quote, "I don't know what happened here today, but would you bring him back?"
Oh.
You know, I felt like someone told me my child was a genius.
Yes.
And, you know, I began to bring, I really thought I would join a group here in Arizona of other people that were doing this. And can I tell you, Danielle, it wasn't happening until Gabriel really cemented that idea into this community. And it has grown more than I ever thought. There's about 180 therapy dogs with their owners, healing children in crisis, you know, working daily, weekly, and as Jane said, we'll reach about 13,000 kids. But let me just say this real quickly. Here's why we do it. Children that are at risk of abuse and neglect or have been abused and neglected lack compassion, they lack empathy, they lack trust, they lack core behaviors. How can they be a productive adult? And I've learned over the years the therapy dog is the teacher of all of those behaviors. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. You know, what is it about, and I'm sure that somebody's looked into, what is it about the relationship between the animal and the child? Is it...
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, because it's a bond that is not visible, yet undeniable. And I think part of it is, and I've tried to study on this and watch Gabriel over the years, and the most important thing is that, you know, dogs live in the present moment, right? As do children. You know, Gabriel didn't lament about the rabbit that got away that morning when he tried to chase it. And, you know, he didn't eagerly anticipate the future either. He didn't go, "When I get home, I'm going to have some food, I'm going to take a nap." And no, they're so present moment oriented. I believe that's the strongest connection we have. The other instance with the children that we deal with is they'll look at a human being and go, uh-uh, you know, You've always disappointed me, humans. I am not going to put my love and my trust in you. However, we'll take the chance and do it through the unconditional love of the therapy dog, which is then the bridge to them going, well, I trusted Gabriel, and that didn't hurt. I'll go ahead and trust this caretaker or this helper. I'll trust, and maybe that won't lead to disappointment. So it's so big what these animals do, and I believe with intent. I believe therapy dogs, with the amount of training they have, know what they're doing, know who they're healing. I really do.
I get that very strongly, that an animal understands our needs often much better than we understand our what we need. That's the beauty of the creature, you know, the instinctiveness of it. And we often forget to use that in our own lives, the instinctiveness, you know, of reaching out and feeling a child in need. You can sense it, and you don't act on it because it's none of your business, or it's inappropriate for you to intrude. Somehow you need to get in touch with someone and let them know that there's something going on, that this little person can't do it for themselves. They can't.
We owe them that.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. And I promised myself when I was 12 that I would never allow a child to be ignored or is somehow neglected, because that child couldn't speak for itself, because no one would believe it. No one will believe the child, so you have to speak for it. So what you're doing?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. What you're doing is fantastic. I are you branching out? Will there be more Gabriel's Angels chapters in other cities?
You know, that's my dream, Danielle, and Jane is very well aware of that. That, you know, we've expanded our services into Tucson, and I believe Gabriel's Angels could be duplicatable overnight. We could go to San Francisco. We could go to Hawaii. We could go to Atlanta. The issue with that. And the people would be there with their dogs. It's just that the resource engine and the funding mechanisms generally lag. So we really have to be cemented into a community, and then the funds develop, and then we're able to expand and even more. And, you know, yes, we're a charity, but it still takes funds to be able to recruit, train, and place the therapy team. So, you know, you just never know. You know, you get a phone call, and somebody wants you in Dallas, and they'll seed it with the funding, and off you go. And you know, we definitely could be national. And when the time is right, and if that's Gabriel's legacy, then we'll go for it.
Amazing. Pam, wonderful. Jane, I'm sure there's something you're thinking about you want to add.
Well, I had, as I learned, and thank you for asking, as I've grown and watched the different things that Gabriel's Angels have been doing, I've tried to explore and so that I could speak authentically about it. And I just wanted to share with you a visit that I had that just blew me away.
Oh, good. Please.
I'd gone to the crisis nursery, and these are young kids. It's about 2, 3, and 4 years old. Is that right, Pam?
Right, uh-huh.
And I'd gone in and was there with a beautiful golden retriever that was a therapy dog. And we went into the nursery, and there was a little boy in the corner. All the kids rushed up to the dog except for one, and he was in the corner. Just standing there, and his hair was cornrowed, and he was dressed with saggy, saggy top and saggy pants, you know, kind of the very urban,
yes,
tough look.
Yes.
He had hard eyes and a sneer on his face, although his Huggies were still sticking out the back of his shorts. And he walked over, and I was sitting towards the back end of the dog, and the handler was working with them and the kids, and he walked over and he raised his arm. I thought, oh, he's going to hit the dog. He's going to hit the dog. What do I do? I can't let him hit the dog, but I don't want to raise my arms because I don't know what this poor child has been through, you know, to protect him. And I'm watching, and he came up, and he pushed in between me, moving me, and the dog, and the back end of the dog, and he put his arm around the dog, Danielle.
Oh.
And he put his head on the dog, and this child with his hard eyes and this sneer on his face changed right in front of me. He put his face on the dog, and it melted, and his eyelashes went on his cheeks, his posture softened, and he just held him. And he held him, and I'm just watching, going, oh, my God, what's happened here? And then he looked at me, and he put his hand up, and I realized he didn't know what to do. So I put his hand on the dog and held his hand, and we just stroked him and stroked him.
Wow.
And stroked him. And it was so beautiful. And bit by bit, he worked his way up to the front of the dog and didn't interact a lot, but he was a beautiful child. He'd gone from this angry, angry little boy to a beautiful child while he interacted. And he wanted to be the one when we left with the dog that he wanted to hold the leash, and he was waving bye-bye, and he was smiling, and his eyes were soft and beautiful, and I thought, you know, holy cow.
What a miracle.
It was, It was a miracle. It was just beautiful. And, you know, I thought right then, although my commitment was already there, I thought, you know, if Daphne's head covers could be a small drop in the bucket of the amazing work that Gabriel's Angels is doing, I am in 110%.
Well, you know, and Jane, we so appreciated that you cared enough to see the work. And, you know, that's really, you know, the hallmark of a great contributor that, you know, now, Jane, I mean, you do. I know you do. You go out and you speak on the behalf of our organization because you felt it and you saw it. And, you know, even Danielle in your neck of the woods over there, amazing. I can feel you get it. And that's, I think, the beauty of how animals impact our lives.
Absolutely. Phenomenal. There is the Phoenix Golf Marathon coming up. You could show your support if you're in Phoenix. You can sign up. It's the Tucson Golf Marathon as well. Are both on the same day?
Actually, no. The Tucson one's coming up, and we did actually hit 100 holes of golf, which I know most of your listeners are falling out of their chairs right now, last Friday, but the website is still open if people would like to help us.
Oh, I see.
We do. We hack and we slice 100 holes of golf for the kids, so I'm not saying we're any good at it, but
no.
We try.
Hey, you don't have to be good when you're doing 100 holes. It's the fact that you've done the 100 holes. That's what's important.
And I could walk the next day.
Yeah, there you go. Get up and move around. So we can buy your book, and we can get a Daphne's head cover after they've been made. We need to go buy them. They're in the stores. Just because Daphne doesn't have any more Daphne's head covers doesn't have any in the warehouse. Jane, they're still available in stores, right?
Absolutely, and you'll see them. You'll identify it as the Weimaraner, and there's a beautiful hang tag on there with a picture of LPGA pro Louise Freeburg and the and Pam's retired therapy dog Jack, who's a Weimaraner. A great hang tag with a picture of them and the head cover, and it'll give you information about Gabriel's Angels so that you can look into it. And I encourage all your listeners to look in and go to the website and see what they're doing, and to support this amazing agency, because you really, all of us together, can make a huge impact and difference just by supporting Gabriel's Angels.
You've made a difference in my life already. I have tears in my eyes. It's hard.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, it's good. It's good. You know, that's important. And as far as making donations, we could either buy the head cover, because part of the proceeds goes, part of the money for the purchase of the head cover goes to Gabriel's Angels, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's there for three reasons: to spread the word about Gabriel's Angels, to create donations for Gabriel's Angels, and to cover your golf club. But the first two is what we're really focusing on.
Pam, would you like to a final message before we close?
People can, you know, like Jane said, gabrielsangels.org is our website. There are a few golf covers available through our agency, because Jane so generously donated some. So if those go fast, I'll still be it. I'm sure they'll be heading over to Hawaii. And my book's available there, too. And, you know, it's just been, this has been like three girlfriends having a beautiful chat about life. So I can't thank you enough, Danielle, for having us on. It's just terrific.
And my pleasure. And your book, your book is fabulous. Not only do you learn about Gabriel's Angels and Gabriel, you learn about rearing a puppy that is kind of like a child.
Yep.
And how you have to take responsibility for your actions having created a little monster. That was fabulous. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
You're great. Okay.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back.
Aloha.
My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Aloha, this is Dustin Johnson. Don't miss the excitement at the Plantation Course here in Maui during the PGA Tour season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
On January 5th through 9th in Kapalua.
Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and KJ Choi highlight a Champions Only field. All fans are free on Thursday's Pro-Am Day. Competition tickets are $15 in advance at pgatour.com/Hyundai or by calling 665-9160. Youth 18 and younger are free with a ticket at adults.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back to the clubhouse in the world of golf. Team Ireland, Rory McIlroy and Graham McDowell are going into Sunday with a two-stroke lead. They've got three guys, three teams, in second. Teams Germany, South Africa, and USA. Martin Kaymer, Alex Cechka made 11 birdies in their 11 under 61. It's the Blackstone course where they're playing, carved out of that cool lava, just like we do here in Hawaii. Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen, they scored 61 as well. Gary Woodland, Matt Kuchar, 10 birdies, 1 bogey, 63. It's going to be some interesting golf at the World Cup. At the SA Open Championship, Heini Otto leads by 3 over Retief Goosen, Thomas Aiken, Magnus Carlsen, and Garth Mulroy. Okay, tight leaderboard. Mulroy won last weekend on the Euro Tour. Now, he's exempt on the European Tour, so he gets to play any tour, and he has his PGA Tour card. Talk about options. Very cool. So we're going to take a listen to somebody. We were talking earlier about the President's Cup, and one of the questions is, how are the internationals going to, you know, get it together and actually be able to play and challenge the U.S. team? And Ernie Els wasn't having that. Foursomes. Didn't get a chance to talk about foursomes and the failure of foursomes for the internationals. Ernie had some thoughts about that after the final round. Well, we might get to that, maybe and maybe not. So let's bring in from Shishi Putter, the woman who created Shishi Putter. We're going from, oh, you know, talking about Gabriel's Angels to it's all about me and fashion, okay? Because if I'm going to be on the golf course, I want to be able to leave the golf course. I want to go to lunch, or I want to go shopping, or I want to go back to work, and I don't want to have to change into something completely different. I don't want to have two sets of clothing. And Elizabeth Noblet is joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure having you on. You're putting on the biggest party in women's golf so far. It's going to be in Hollywood at the W Hotel. Now, it's called an Agora, where golf, style, and shopping meet, presented by Shishi Putter. Like, it's Shishi. And you know what? First, you have to tell us what an Agora is.
Well, Agora is the marketplace in ancient Greece, where the community would go to shop, to learn, to discuss politics and what was happening. It was a really core part of their culture. And as I started playing golf again and realizing that there was really not a lot of places for women to interact with other women golfers, except on the golf course. And there wasn't anywhere to really shop, especially living in Seattle where we only get a golf a few months of the year. There aren't golf shops for women's golf clothing.
It's hard to find women's.
Very hard to find.
Yeah, that's why you created your website, I believe, isn't it? I mean, your mission was to connect women with clothes.
Definitely, and to connect them with, especially some of the smaller designers who it's much harder to find their clothes, and you might not even know about them at all.
Exactly. I looked. There are a number of things that I want to buy. there's the one company that strikes me as it's just stunning. Is it Grace?
Grace and Game.
Yes. And who's the brain behind that? Who's the
Her
the
name
pen?
Is Jessica Eves Matthews, and she actually is an attorney by day and had been frustrated by not having clothes that she could wear to the office and then wear to the court when she was golfing with her associates or her clients. Meanwhile, her male counterparts didn't have to change their clothes. So she would find herself missing pieces of a conversation, and the last thing you want to do is sort of walk in and say, you know, what did I miss?
Yeah. No.
So,
beam me up, yes.
Exactly. So that was really part of her inspiration for creating a line of clothes that you could wear to the boardroom and with a client and then wear onto the course and back to work.
Yeah, and she pulls it off really nicely.
Very nicely.
Yeah. It's also difficult for women who have created a line like this to get their clothes into the pro shop, which is pretty much the only place you can buy golf clothes, unless it's a big chain store. But even the chain stores, the golf chain equipment stores, they don't carry anything that's not going to sell guaranteed.
Right. Well, especially as a new designer, it's hard because they still have to prove themselves to the buyers. Are you going to be able to deliver? Can you, you know, are you going to stay in business? So it's a really critical time sort of from year one till probably about year five, where they're really building their network and trying to build relationships with the pro shop and the chain to really prove that they can stay in business and deliver a quality product consistently.
In the meantime, there's shishiputter.com where you can go and see all the different styles, and they're not just executive type of styles. There's fun styles too that I think you'll really like. You'd be able to put together something that suits your personality. And that's what's fun. You know, you wear what you wear, even if it's to the boardroom, with a certain amount of your own personality put into the clothing. And so that's what's nice about this kind of shopping for the game, and not just for the game, for the whole day.
And right.
And it's really great. So we're having... Can we say we're having an agora? We're going to an agora.
Pretty.
Yes, we're having a... the agora is happening, right? The agora, because it's a shopping experience, but it's more than that. It's a meeting of the minds. It's discourse. It's chatting about whatever. That's what it was part of the Greeks, is if you could sit down and... just to have conversations and didn't know where they were going to take you, much like what's happening right now.
Right.
We're having an agora, and we could go shopping at the same time. Here, you know, I'm online with you. I'm looking at your exhibitors, sponsors, golf. So we can be are you still taking people who'd like to be an exhibitor?
It's actually sold out. All the spots are full, which is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
So we are still looking for sponsors, but the exhibitor spots are sold out.
Okay. Now, what is the sponsor's responsibility? A sponsor, what does the sponsor do?
Well, the sponsor helps us spread the word and helps support the idea. This is actually, the one in Los Angeles is actually going to be kicking off a national tour where we'll be doing smaller ones across the country.
Very cool.
Hopefully even in Hawaii.
That would be very cool. Yes.
And so we're really looking for someone who's really looking for this to be their target market of affluent or businesswomen who golf, and that's their target market, and they really want to reach them in a new way and to be able to continue to reach them ongoingly through the next year.
So far the sponsors are Beauty for Real, Crave Los Angeles, Wise Los Angeles, and the EWGA, the foundation. But what you get, okay, let's go to the Agora, okay? Let's gather. And it's Saturday, March 24th, 2012. Yep. Why did you choose the W Hotel in Hollywood?
Well, I chose the W in Hollywood because, one, it's beautiful. It's really a swanky, fun venue. And I thought it would be a really great place to, somewhere where you would want to go and just happen to be about golf.
Yes, Yes, that's nice. I like
so
that.
We are taking over the hotel. Plus, it's actually very easy to get to in Los Angeles, especially with all the issues with 405.
Yeah. Oh, I love the 405.
Yeah. So it's beautiful. The people there are really fun and really nice. And it's actually right on the Avenue of the Stars. So if we're lucky, maybe someone's having their star put down that day.
Oh, yes.
And we'll have front row seats.
Wouldn't that be something?
It yes. would be something.
Yeah.
So actually, Katharine Hepburn's right outside the hotel.
And isn't she gorgeous?
She was so beautiful. And she's
I know.
A great golfer.
Yes, I know. Exactly. So the reception's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yep. So there's a reception at 1 o'clock with cocktails and appetizers, and then the fashion show starts at 2, and we'll be having a guest speaker as well, which I'm going to leave as a surprise.
Okay. All right.
And then afterwards, we'll have shopping. So you can shop from the vendors and the designers for the next few hours.
Okay. And that, this this includes the fashion show, swag, ladies, swag, yes, cocktails, snacks. You can register online at shishiputter.com, okay? Let's go to the Agora and let's have some fun in Los Angeles. Hey, Elizabeth, we'll have to talk again because it's coming up soon, March 24th, 2012. We've got to make reservations. We have
yes.
to book airlines. We have to,
yes.
we have to get
well,
our clothes ready.
The W's also been really generous and is giving my guests a fantastic rate of $269 a night.
All right.
Which so is about half price.
Yes, to be at the W.
Yes.
Okay, ladies, we've got to make plans to go. This is excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure because I want to go shopping.
I'd love to have you join us.
Thank you. ShiShiPutter.com. That's your site. That's where you can find everything that we've been talking about fashion-wise, and you can register to go to the Agora. Okay, this is the biggest party in women's golf so far, because the next Agora is going to be even bigger, right?
Yes.
Aloha. Thanks for being on.
Aloha.
Okay. And I want to thank all of the sponsors who make the golf club possible. Without them, we wouldn't be here. Poipu Bay Golf Course, starting the Poipu Bay Fall Visitor Special for a couple more days, okay? It's a special rate for our visitors, $144 after noon, $100. The Poipu Visitor Special ends on November 30th, so there's just a few more days. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Come join the best of the best at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, Kapalua, January 5th through the 9th, Monday the 9th. It's at the Plantation Course at the Kapalua Resort. It's the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, the PGA Tour, kicking off the 2012 season. I'll be there. I'll see you there. Star protection for property threats and risk assessment for protection for your home, your business, your concert, your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, they're available here in Hawaii, of course, also in California. The big hitters on the PGA Tour, they're coming to the Waialae Country Club for the Sony Open. So you come over to Hawaii, you go to the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, then you book to be at the Sony Open. Sony opens January 10th, right after the Hyundai Tournament of Champions ends on the 9th. You come over on Tuesday, 10th to the 16th. Buy your tickets at friendsofhawaii.org. or in Hawaii at any of our First Hawaiian Bank branches on Oahu. Star Protection, thank you. And Alaka'i Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. If you need something made out of sheet metal, they'll do it. Flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC, a commercial kitchen designed and fabricated. Alaka'i Mechanical, thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Yes, indeed. And Hawaii Golf News and Travel, thank you. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2011.